Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that something simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Anne Ueno, owner and lead designer of her full-service design firm based in Miami, Florida. In this episode, we discuss how years of experience in digital marketing in the hospitality industry opened the door for a new career in interior design. Anne shares her journey of learning critical design skills, developing a client experience, and the business of design. We also discussed the concept of having a long-term vision for your design business, growing her team, and how paying it forward in the design community is built into her business model. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and more locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. This podcast episode is also sponsored by Design Manager, the design trade's most reliable project management, purchasing, and accounting platform. The business of design is complex, and it requires solutions developed specifically for our industry. Design Manager has invested decades responding to the needs of interior design professionals and continues to deliver innovative tools to manage your design business with efficiency and profitability in mind. Visit designmanager.com to start a free 30-day trial of the tool trusted by the top interior design firms across the country. And now, my conversation with the newest member of the Design Biz Survival Guide podcast family, Anne Ueno. Welcome, Anne, to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
I am so excited to be here. It's going to be a great dialogue, I have a feeling.
Yes, for sure. Happy New Year to you, by the way.
You too. How fast did 2021 go? I can't even believe it.
Gosh, not fast enough. I'm ready for 2022.
Same. I think we're all ready. We're all ready for what is to come.
For sure. Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation. I love talking business of design, and I know that you've got lots to share. But before we dig into the business side, let's talk about you for a second, because I like to share a little bit about you with our listeners. So tell us about yourself.
Of course, of course. Well, I'm Anne Ueno. I own and am the lead designer of Anne Ueno Interior Design. I know we're going to unpack that, but I live in Miami, Florida, where it is very sunny almost the whole year, all days of the week. So that's a big blessing for me. But I actually come from a really small farm town in Ottawa, Illinois. That's where I grew up. Humble surroundings, to say the least.
And really? Then,
yeah. And I decided, as you do from a small town, do I stay and like have babies at 18, or do I go live a life that's a little bit more adventurous? So I took the second path. And I went to school at University of Illinois, and then moved to the city of Chicago, which was like a really big deal because I came from a farm town of 20,000. And, you know, so I started my career in Chicago, in hotels, actually, in luxury hotels. And I fell in love. I had a massive love affair for actually almost 16 years in hotels. So wow. That led me to New York City, where I started with Starwood Hotels and Resorts. So that's W, Westin, et cetera. Now it's all under Marriott, but before that it was called Starwood. And I oversaw our digital marketing programs for North America there, and had the best boss, the best experience, learned a ton, traveled the world for personal and for work as well. So I got to stay in incredible hotels. And then that sort of, after a few years in New York, I went back to Chicago and then ended up coming to Miami. So that's a little bit about like career side of things. And I think the thing that we'll unpack, I know a little bit more, but as I was in this hotel journey, uh-huh. I had sort of my passion part-time love for design. So I have been doing interior design on the side for almost a decade while wow. doing my full-time job. Yeah. Yeah.
Little secret so, side hustle, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. It was not a secret, which is one of my lessons that I'm going to share today.
Good.
But yeah. Yeah. So I did that on the side and then I decided, you know, I'm going to go full time. So that's where I'm at today. I'm a mom, a single mom, recently divorced. I'm a product of a COVID divorce. I know a lot of people had gone through a lot of things, so that was unfortunate, but I am still standing stronger than ever. So just learning, you know, the single mom ropes and just trying to be positive the whole way through.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I think it's interesting, working in the hospitality industry and traveling as much as you did and seeing all of these beautiful hotels, which I'm sure was a requirement of your job. Yes. If you've got the design bug, then that's like the perfect recipe right there. It's a perfect combination.
Yeah, it really was, especially it was really fun because when I was with Starwood, it was at the right after they launched W Hotels. So W,
which was a big deal.
And it was really one of the first design branded hotels ever, right? Mm-hmm. That really pushed the envelope on environment, on food and beverage, on design, and sort of merged all those things. So needless to say, you know, going to those hotels, experiencing that, marketing those brands, it just affirmed my love for design and creating spaces for people, not just to be beautiful, but to have beautiful experiences in, memorable experiences in. I felt like, and not just W, all the brands did it in their own way, but it was really exciting to be a part of that sort of, you know, coming into this like hotel design world. So it was, the best.
And then when did you actually launch your design business? Let's talk about that for a second, and then we'll go back to what prompted it. But how long have you actually been in business for yourself and doing interior design?
Yeah, you know, in about a month, it'll be 3 years.
Yay, so, congratulations.
I know, thank you. It's funny because on one hand, I feel like it's been not that long. But again, I've been doing it for so long, beyond 3 years. But the business birthday, as I like to say, is in February. So we're going to celebrate big.
That's great. That's awesome. And at what point did you decide in your, you know, career with Starwood that you would kind of listen to that little voice in your head and take that leap and pursue interior design as a career?
Yeah. So I have two responses to that. So the first is it's always been in me. Like, you know, I think we're born with a set of gifts and I think we're born with a set of passions. And if you can find that intersection and make it your career, I would argue that you're living out your purpose. Like, I believe I'm a Christian, I believe in God. And so I'm always after like, what did God design me to be and to do? And how do I do that? Right. And I feel like if we really pay attention to the passions, like what really lights you up, pay attention to that. And I did. And I remember like at a young age, I would go with my mom to pick out wallpaper for our house, or I would help paint my bedroom. She would let me do like bedroom makeovers, you know, every so often. And it would be literally the highlight of my year doing that, like picking out new pillows. Or I remember like we had ceiling fans. We would like paint the blades of the ceiling fans, and it brought me It brought me so much joy styling my bookshelf with like my tennis trophies and pictures of me and my friends. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I like it. It was like something in my soul. So part one to your question, or your part one answer to your question, is it's always been in me. Like, I've always been drawn to it. I have designed my own houses, and it just lit me up. It's lit me up since, I don't know, maybe the age of like 10 or younger. And then the second part, where I had this like, okay, I'm not getting any younger. And if I do this, like, I gotta make some moves here. So a couple things happened. One, I started a blog many years ago. It was called House and Host, because it was the design side, so the house side, and I loved hosting. And I just started blogging about design, about trends, about, you know, I'd take pictures of my travels, and I'd merge sort of my full time and, you know, into that. So I started that, and I started communicating verbally out loud to people that I worked with, that, you know, my friends, like, I want to be an interior designer. Like, I loved, love working in corporate America. I loved working in hotels. I in fact, like, recommend corporate America for a lot of reasons. If you're going to be a business person and be an entrepreneur, it taught me more than I could have ever asked for. But because I was vocal, and because, you know, people knew that this was a passion of mine, my boss had come to me and said, hey, Ann, we're getting kicked out. We actually worked at the W in Chicago. Oh. And we were getting kicked out of that space because they were going to make our offices guest rooms, mm-hmm. which is a little bit more profitable, right? So understandably so. And she said, listen, we have to get out of here, and we need space. We need to go find space. We're a regional team. We're remote. So corporate was in New York, and we were in Chicago. And so they're sort of like, go figure it out. So my boss said to me, like, do you want to take this project? Like, lead finding the space, work with the Starwood real estate team, work with finance, work with accounting, the construction team. And if you do this, I'll let you design the whole thing.
Wow.
And which is sort of funny, right? Because let's be honest, I probably didn't have a choice in the matter because she's my boss. And she was like, I know you love design. I know this is like a dream of yours. So I can't really make you an interior designer because we don't work in that field, but do you want to do it? And so of course I said yes. And so that was a pivotal point of my interior design career. And this was over 10 years ago at this point. And it ended up being like the highlight of like 5 years of my life. It wasn't just the highlight of my 1 year at Starwood, you know, when I was there. It was the highlight. I was able to learn a ton. I worked with an architect firm. I worked with the GCs. I got to literally source everything for this beautiful corporate office space for luxury hotels. And that led me to my first paid design job because a woman came into our office space and was like, who designed this? Like, our space at Starwood doesn't look like this. Like, who did this? You know? And so my boss was like, Ann did it. And so she said, what do you mean Ann did it? Like, she works for you. She's not an interior designer. Like, that's not making sense. And my boss was like, no, like, she designs on the side. She's really good. She did all this. And that woman hired me to do her entire house.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that project was pivotal for a few reasons, but certainly it gave me confidence. It gave me more experience, and it affirmed this is what I'm after. Yeah. But I didn't go to school for design. So I said, okay, in the time being, it's affirmed that this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep designing. I'm going to keep doing projects in my home. I'm going to help friends and family out. Like, that's what I'm going to do until this thing fully unfolds.
Right. Right. And, you know, I'm an advocate of design school, but I'm also a huge advocate of just kind of pacing yourself as you discover yourself and develop your design business model and where you're going. And you'll know, like, the need will present itself as your business grows and you kind of widen your lanes or expand your business model. It will tell you, your business will tell you, you need to learn this or you need to know more about this. And I think that's when you should pursue the formal education to balance the business, because it could ruin the momentum.
It could. The other approach that I've taken, because, you know, I know we'll unpack this a little bit more, but I'm self-taught, as you know, I went to school for marketing, and minored in economics and accounting. So I have a little bit of like the finance brain. I wouldn't call myself an expert in that space. And then I have marketing. Like that's what I did my whole career. So moving into interior design, like it's funny because probably like maybe some listeners right now are out there listening. Like I was like, I'm going to be an interior designer. I'm going to make homes beautiful. Like it's not that hard, right? Like I can go shopping. I can source tile. Like this is not that big of a deal. It is, in fact, like you have to know a little bit more than just like this sofa is pretty. Like you have to understand, you know, space planning. You have to understand the intricacies of design, what goes into designing a kitchen, right? There's a lot of details, like what type of threshold do you need in the bathroom and what's the height? And if you need a Schluter for your floors, what size Schluter should it be? Like things... I remember somebody said, I think a contractor asked me, like, did you get the Schluters? I'm like, what's a Schluter? I don't even know what a Schluter is, right? So, because I didn't do this. I just decided, like, I love it. I'm pretty good at it. I'm going to go after it. But to your point, you can go get more education on the areas that you don't have. Or you find people that are better than you.
Absolutely.
In the field that you're in, right? So you get a mentor in the space. You go to a conference. Like one of the most pivotal things that I did is I invested in a conference with an organization called The Haven List, which is incredible. She's an incredible woman. She's got just, you know, a great following, great aesthetic. And she held a conference for basically like new and aspiring interior designers.
Yeah.
This was years ago. I think it has to be 3 years, maybe 4 years ago-ish.
Yeah, they're still doing it.
They're still doing it. Yeah, and yeah. That conference, like I was by far the dumbest one in the room, which it's a good thing when I have a lot to learn in this business. So I just soaked it all in, the speakers and all that they taught. So that when we think of education, I think we just need to broaden what education looks like. It could be a conference. It could be a podcast. It could be going back to school, or, you know, if you really have a deficit in finance or in accounting, yeah, maybe it would be worth taking a class like at the community college or online. Mm-hmm. So there's just so many ways to learn these days. So it's also very freeing. You never have to worry about failure, or you never have to worry about not starting or not doing what you love, because there's resources for you. So the only thing that's getting in the way of you doing what you love is yourself, because there is a million resources to help you. And, you know, I think, you know, as I've been trained, I do a lot of Tony Robbins. People are motivated by fear or by fear or joy, essentially, or they're motivated by pain or pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I think people don't want to start. They don't want to do it because they're afraid. Right.
Right.
I would encourage you, like, flip that narrative and just get so excited that there's so many resources out there to help you grow.
And that's the reality now, is there are so many resources. So there's really no excuse. And I love having these conversations with people like you. And I've had this conversation many times on the podcast, and I'll continue to have it, because every time someone says, this is how I learned, this is where I went to ask questions and find information, it just expands, you know, that resource to other designers out there listening. Because, you know, that Haven course that you went to is a perfect example where you were in a room filled with people that were willing to learn, and a room filled with people who were willing to share. So that was a safe place for you to raise your hand and ask questions. And obviously you took full advantage of that.
I did take full advantage. And I think like the commentary on it being a safe space, like make it a safe space. Cause I remember when I first got there, like the night, it was like an opening party, and I looked around and I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? Like I'm having imposter syndrome, right? Like
totally.
I don't belong here. And so I was a little nervous, and I don't get nervous. Like you could put me in, like I could speak on stages. Like but I'm in this room surrounded by people that are way more advanced than I was. So I did get a little nervous, and I stopped and said, wait, I paid a lot of money to come here. I'm going to be me. If they're going to judge me, or they're going to think like, what? No, the reason we're here is to learn. So I immediately was like, to your point, they're offering a safe space. Let me accept it to be a safe space so that I can raise my hand, ask the stupid questions. And I did. Like, I remember one night at dinner, this is a funny story. So I'm at dinner. It's the first night, actually, after some wine. So I felt a lot safer after a glass of wine. So I'm sitting at the table. I think there was 30 attendees and six or seven like speakers and educators-ish. So it's a pretty intimate, beautiful setting. We're having fun. We're talking. We're getting to know each other. And I'm sitting next to Kate Lester, who is an incredible designer based in California. Like, I love her work. I love her personality. She's amazing. Like, she's one of like the people I look up to and aspire to be like when I grow up one day. And meanwhile, I think we're like the same age, but so I'm sitting there and there's, you know, a few other people around me. And we started talking about discounts like that, you know, as a designer, one of the benefits we get, it's a revenue stream that, you know, our trade commissions are revenue to our business. Well, I didn't exactly implement that in my business. I passed my discounts to my clients. It was a sales tool I use. Like, hey, if you hire me, I'm going to give you the discount. So I say this at dinner, like, wait, I give my discounts like to my clients. Like, you guys don't? Oh. And Kate, she was like, she said the F word a couple of times. She's like, what? How are you going to make any money? What are you talking about? And then I looked, and even some of all the attendees, so not the speakers and educators, the other gals that were sitting around me, they're like, yeah, we also don't pass our discounts. Like, we're in Kate's, you know, they sort of look at me like, you should know that. And I'm like, well, I already got my money's worth from coming here. Thank you so much for that intel, right? So being in a safe space and being vulnerable and being like humble is so important when you're on the education journey, to say the least.
We're taking a quick break to acknowledge our podcast sponsor, Sunset West, the design trade's premier resource for outdoor furnishings. Founded upon a family legacy of fine furnishings and a culture of excellence, the California-based company is dedicated to providing premium casual furnishings and personalized service to the design trade. Each distinct collection is impeccably designed with quality and comfort in mind and handcrafted in premium finishes and materials that bring life and style to the outdoors. With over 20 collections to choose from in a variety of materials and styles, along with hundreds of custom fabric and COM options, Sunset West is your design partner for stylish outdoor furnishings. See the newest additions and collections at Las Vegas Market, January 23rd through the 27th, and join us for a special happy hour for Design Biz Survival Guide listeners on Monday, the 24th, from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Sunset West showroom, Building B, Suite 162. See you there.
So what is your specialty in design now? So what is kind of your design niche?
Yeah, so my design, I love this question. So it broad niche is residential, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what you're after exactly, but I've done a few small commercial projects I love, but residential is where my heart is. I love homes. You know, again, I love the experiences within homes. We're a firm that I believe that everybody deserves and should have a beautiful space. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty open. My niche is actually, I don't even know if I would call it a niche. Like I will say yes to almost, not all, and this is a little contradictory to some things I've learned, but this is the beauty of being my own business owner. Sure. We say yes to the high majority of people that inquire with us, not all. But most, and there's a couple points to make on that. One, I'll just talk about my sort of like the aesthetic side of my niche. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have it because I firmly believe the client's home is a client's home. It's not my home.
Right.
So our aesthetic, of course, there's a little bit of a string that holds our projects together. Mm-hmm. But if you check out our portfolio, every project is very different. You know, I design traditional and I say we design traditional, we'll design modern, mid-century modern, transitional, like we do it all. And you're going to see like it's all very different. And it's to me a sales point because I don't know. The idea that like every home that I design looks very similar or looks like Anna Ueno, that's not the goal. I want the goal to be, this home looks like John and Jane Anderson. It right. feels like them and it's more elevated and we helped with our, you know, we brought our expertise and it's more beautiful than John and Jane could have done, but we were able to bridge that gap for them. So There's that. And I forgot my other point, but it'll come to me. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, it did. It did. And you brought up some good points, actually, because it's typical in the first few years of business not to necessarily be zoned in on a niche particularly. Mm-hmm. That takes time. So it's very typical to say yes to everything. Every designer does that when they launch their business. Very rarely does a designer launch a business and say, and by the way, this is all I'm going to do. But eventually it evolves into, you know, hey, I've tried this, I've tried that, and I'm leaning towards new construction, or I'm leaning towards just remodel, or I prefer, you know, commercial over residential. But that's a journey. That's an exploration that's very important, because by physically doing it is how you're going to determine if that's your strength. And that's also it's going to allow you to determine if it's profitable for your business.
That's, yeah, like preach. That's a really, really good point. All those are great points. And you're absolutely right, because I remember when I first started, even before I officially launched my business 3 years ago, like, of course I said yes to literally everything. You know, now we're a little bit more buttoned up. You know, we charge hourly rates, so that inevitably some people can't afford us or whatever, so that doesn't work. And the one thing that I've learned as a business owner, though, as we would get leads in, a lot of inquiries, and there was a point where I was like, we're going to have to turn them down. We're too busy. Mm-hmm. And we did that for a while. And then I was like, wait a minute. I feel like I'm leaving revenue on the table, right? Because this is, I'm a business person. Like that, the business side of what I do, I don't know that I like it more than design, but they compete. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, if I'm leaving revenue on the table, I'm also leaving experience on the table. I'm also leaving risk-taking on the table. I'm leaving a lot of things on the table when I say no to a client. Mm-hmm. Again, some are warranted no's, okay? So that's fine. But some maybe, you know, if I don't have time, but I really want to take it and they don't want to wait or they can't join my wait list, it was a pivotal point for me. I was like, I got to hire more people. Don't be stupid. Just, this is the time to grow. But it was funny because I never anticipated having a big team. I was like, I'm going to be a solopreneur and run a design firm. Like that was all that was in my brain. And then I started doing that. And it's funny how like thinking works, because all I thought was I'm going to be a solopreneur and that's all that happened. Until it didn't. Until I started like, wait a minute, hold on. This is bigger. There's more here to be done, and there's more clients to serve, and there's more relationships to build, and there's more referrals to get, and there's more moments that I could create for people. Why would I ever leave that on the table? So I took a stand in my business a year and a half ago and said, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to equip my team. I'm going to build my team. So we're going to say yes to the one room projects.
Nice.
I'm going to say, because a one room project, I've, to your point, it's a journey. I've had a one room project that led to the couple moving, that I got their whole house. Then they moved their whole apartment, excuse me. Then they moved to a house. I got that job. Now I'm working on another project for them. And it started out as a one room project. Mm-hmm. Had I not said yes to that, that's four pieces of business in 3 years that have been significant. The project's been featured. Like it's been picked up by the media. Like, right? So again, for me, and I know every designer is different. And, you know, some designers have been doing for 20 years. They're like, we're over. We don't care about any of that stuff. And that's great. And maybe one day I'll be there. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. That's the beauty of our business, is that these clients, you know, they're the gift that keeps on giving. And you're right. By saying no, it is difficult, because like you said, it's passing on opportunity. It's passing on risk, which is a very good point. All of the things that are so important to build your business, these experiences, these successes and these failures, they're all required for growth in your business.
Exactly. Exactly. And more important to all of those points, I think for me, like my heart is for people. My heart is to serve people. And I don't want to say no to that. I want to be a part of their life to make it more meaningful, to make it more beautiful, to make it better. Like my words of my life that I'm after every single day in every aspect of my life is better. Like I want to get better. I want to make homes better. I want to be a better mom. I want to be a better, you know, friend. And so if I can have a role, if my team and I can have a role making somebody's life a little bit better, Like, I don't want to pass it up, even if it's the smallest job. So we've taken some pretty bold steps. And I will say this, something that prompted me, I was in a training last year that affirmed the direction that we're in and we're going, and we've been there, but it's more solidified, is when I think of hotels. So that's where I spent, you know, my whole career. And I'll just reference Starwood. So there was like, you know, the economy brands, essentially. Yeah. There was like the middle class brands and the upper upscale luxury brands. So that company decided, we don't want to prohibit travel based on budget. We believe everybody should travel. So we're going to offer this hotel, a Four Points by Sheraton. It's going to be $79 a night. It's going to be affordable for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So they can travel for fun, for pleasure, for, you know, with your family, with your friends, with work, whatever that looks like. And we're going to have another version that's whatever, $150 a night, and then $250 and above. I'm just throwing out numbers, but they made travel accessible for all. And then Airbnb comes and makes it even more accessible. And there, you know, we could talk about the travel narrative. And I thought, that's what I want my brand to be.
Yeah.
I want my brand to be, to a degree, accessible for all. Not everyone can afford an interior designer, right? So, you know, even my like lower, like, you know, tiers that I work off of, but can I make it more accessible, better for the customers that come to us?
Yeah. What I like about that approach is that you obviously thought about that in advance. And I think that's the secret. I think that's the key to making that happen, because you can serve a broad range of clients, but you have to come in with that intention, and you have to build your business based on that. So knowing that already, you know, if I'm going to have three levels, I'm going to need three different processes and maybe even three leaders within my organization to oversee those processes so that I can fulfill them all. I think the wrong way to do it, or the opposite of that, would be to say yes to everything, do it all, and then in 3 years be in a place where you're like, all right, I guess I do it all. There's a difference between developing your business or your business developing, you know, for you.
Yes, you're really good at this, by the way. The quotes that are coming out of your mouth are, people, write these things down. Take a moment and write that down.
We're going to make t-shirts and hats.
Right? Like, seriously, this is like fuel for people. I couldn't agree more. And the truth is, also, don't feel bad. Because again, I always want to be cognizant to the listeners. Like, because I've been there. Don't feel bad if your business is running you and you're doing it, quote unquote, the wrong way. Because, right, nothing's a failure, it's all learning. And then you pivot. Like, that's what I had to do, because I was exactly in that place where I said yes to everything. No intention, no strategy, just like, yes, oh my gosh, I'm getting paid to do what I love. This is amazing.
Right.
And then I woke up one day like, wait, hold on a second. I need to be a business person here. This has to change. And I need to be more strategic. And now that's the path that I'm on. And I know that in two more years, I'm going to learn even more and probably pivot even more. So that's the fun of being a business owner, being an interior designer, owning this, being an entrepreneur. Like, it is, like, yeah, I'm made for this. I'm made for it. There's just no question.
I hear you. And, you know, I'll be the first to say, and I tell people this all the time, everything that I know, the majority of it was learned through failure and mistake. Yeah. I did a lot of things right, but I did a ton of stuff wrong. And man, I learned so much, to the point where now I'm able to have these conversations with other designers and provide consulting services and produce events to inspire and inform and educate designers, all based on a whole bunch of mistakes and a whole bunch of screwing up. But, you know, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it.
Same. I would do it all over again, right? In every aspect of my life. Man, how many failed motherhood moments that I've had. Like, the list could go on and on, but that's the beauty. That's the beauty of life. And if you have that perspective, it makes it a lot more freeing.
Right.
Because I think there's so many people that get really weighed down on their quote-unquote failures. And then they get stuck. Then they get paralyzed. And then they don't step into their purpose, or they don't grow their business, or there's so many barriers. But if you can just change that narrative in your head, the psychology of it, like, dude, it's fun. It could be so much fun. Like, okay, we mess up, celebrate it. You know, I know it's so cliche, and a lot of people have been preaching this for like the last few years, especially.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, don't just like watch one thing on Instagram and get fired up about it. Like, live it. Live when you fail, you should be celebrating that failure because it's going to lead you to the next point. I mean, it's, yeah, it's the crux of my business is a bunch of a potpourri of mistakes leading me to talking to you today.
Which I appreciate very much. I want to get to our signature questions. So starting with the secret to your survival. So having been in the biz for 3 years, but really having dabbled in it for over a decade, I mean, what would you say is your secret to survival in this business so far?
Love this question. I would say a couple of things. I pray a lot. I'm literally praying all the time. I pray for clients. I pray for client appointments. I pray for new clients. So for me, again, God and I are BFF on this journey. And so there's a lot of prayers going up. That's how I survive. There's two other things that I would say is my mentality is long game. So, and this has been hard, but I think it's for sure why I'm surviving and even thriving. Like when we make mistakes or if we lose one client or if, you know, we're going to make some changes in the business that are going to take some time, I got to think this is long game. I know what I'm doing is probably going to be what I'm doing for the rest of my life, I would argue. Like, I think my business will continue to grow and I'll have different arms of my business. Like, it's going to look different in even 5 years or even probably 1 year, but I'm playing the long game, right? And so it's like anything. You want to lose weight? You know that you can't lose it in a week. You know that those fast fad diets are not going to be sustainable. It's the same thing in business. You better be doing stuff every single day, chipping away at little things every single day that are going to further you, that are going to grow your business, incrementally grow your revenue. You know, like, are you looking at your revenue to say, this is what we made last year. We want to make X this year. What are you going to do every single day to get to that place? It's not quick hit. These aren't, again, sometimes you get lucky. Sure. And we have quick wins and short game wins, if you will. But I'm playing the long game. And it's more freeing. But yeah. The long game requires discipline, hard work. Again, probably a lot of prayer. Like it requires a lot. But it, to me, is why some entrepreneurs don't have to close their doors after a year or 3 years or 5 years. And some do.
Right. Have you ever read the book Infinite Game by Simon Sinek?
No, but I love Simon.
I'm going to send it to you. Okay. I'm going to send it to you. It's amazing.
Okay, good. Those would be the two things I'd say on surviving.
Awesome. And what would you say?
Wait, I'm sorry. I have one more thing.
Oh, yeah. Go.
Hiring people. I think that, you know, as an entrepreneur, when I started, again, I had a solopreneur mindset. Like, I wasn't going to expand my team. And the moment I realized I needed to, and the moment I did, is when my business wouldn't be where it is today if I didn't hire the people that are, most of them are still with me. And I'm growing. Right now, we're hiring more. Mm-hmm. Because hiring is an investment, but it's a revenue stream. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're doing the right hiring for the right departments and in your business. And so I think that that's something we get scared of as entrepreneurs. Like, oh, I don't know if I have enough money. I don't know if my budget's going to allow me to hire. You know, remember, there's a lot of people that will take part-time work. There's a lot of people that, there's a lot of stay-at-home moms that maybe, you know, left their corporate careers, and now they're at home with their kid, but they still want a little bit. You never know. There might be the right person for you. And if it's not a full-time body or you can't afford a full-time body right now, but that to me is really the strength and the survival that I think I've had within, you know, my business for sure the last year.
It's funny. You make a really good point about hiring people and considering them a revenue stream, and they are. A lot of business people look at them as an expense. But really, if you do it correctly and strategically, they're billable and they are actually generating revenue for your business. Exactly. It just depends on, you know, the job description and how you develop that job and that responsibility. So I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah, I've only done it one way, so I can't really give advice on other ways. And I'm sure there's a million other ways to give advice on this. But for me, it was scary. But I hired my first part-time designer over a year ago. And my revenues have since almost doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did is it gave me confidence. Like, okay, this person, the revenues doubled for a few reasons, but I would argue she's part of that. And so it led me to go as a business owner, okay, aha, this is helping my business, number one. Number two, I had just had more confidence to go, okay, hiring isn't that scary. It didn't drain my bank account. In fact, it made my bank account much, much better. And by the way, I know it's not just revenue, it's expense.
Sure.
And we're in a really, really healthy place, healthier than ever. So I think when you do that and you step into that, it gives you confidence to go, okay, you know what? Now I have a little bit more money and my flow through is in a good place. So maybe I can hire a part-time e-commerce person,
mm-hmm,
or some additional help in other areas of the business that maybe aren't directly revenue generating, but over time will be. So that, again, that's, I say that with such confidence because that's what I did and I see it working.
Mm-hmm.
So advice for anyone out there that's struggling on whether or not to hire.
There you go. And at the end of the day, you're only one person and you can only bill so many hours.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you cap out. You can't. And you're very good. Like, you're very good at all of this.
You're very good for my ego.
For a good team.
What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? So let's just go back to, 3 years ago when you took the leap.
The one thing that I know now that I wish I knew then, it's always a funny question because a part of me is like, yeah, but if I knew it then, would I have done it the same way?
Right, I know.
You know what I mean? I would say just simply go, when you're following your heart and you're following your passion, the money is going to come. It really is. I believe this. I've done studies on this. I've taken, 5-day trainings, intensives on this. When you are doing something that sets your soul on fire, it's inevitable that somebody's going to buy it. Right. And back to Simon, people don't buy what you sell. They buy why you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's an attraction that happens. And I say that because I think in the beginning, I was a little bit nervous about money. Mm-hmm. Because I had a corporate job that paid me a lot of money and I had stock and I had bonuses and I had money was never an issue for me. I'm not living luxury. I don't have a driver, but can I pay my mortgage? Yes. Can I drive a Volvo? Yes. But I'm not driving the Mercedes G-Wagon for the love. But, so I never had to worry about am I going to save this month? That was never my mindset because I always saved. I always had this is the beauty of corporate America, but the beauty of, there's always the cons, which I won't unpack that right now. So, but I think I worried about, the financial part of it and, the finances, they've come and they've been plentiful. And again, I think if your heart is in the right place and you're serving people versus after profit first,
mm-hmm,
I think, beauty can happen and the numbers will come.
Nice. Nice. Now this is a part that I'm excited to talk about and we saved it for last, but I think it's very valuable. Let's talk about how you pay it forward in the design community.
Love this. Listen, if anyone emails me or texts me or asks me for anything, you're getting responses. DMs on Instagram is a hit or miss. I know some people think that everyone should respond on all that, but I share everything. I'm not scared of competition. I'm not worried that somebody's going to take my business model. First of all, you don't really have exactly insight or access to it directly, but I can verbalize it and share it with you. And I'm not worried for one second because there's enough business to go around and I want to help people. Again, my heart is for people first, people, my clients, people, and so that's really led me to I coach one-on-one. I have a digital course that I just launched. I do a 6-week business program for aspiring or new interior designers where I literally share everything I've learned. So while, yeah, they have to pay to join these programs, the value is insurmountable and you get a community of people. So literally right now we have three separate courses. And so there's three groups of people that all got to know each other, that are all in a very similar boat, that are now part of this really intimate community. every day, like all morning, I saw chats going back and forth. You guys, I need a new rendering person. My guy isn't getting back to me on time. Hey, I need a contractor for this. Or does somebody have a resource for this? Like, it's nonstop.
Yeah.
That, when I see that happening, and when I see that means their businesses are growing, that means they're getting help. They don't need to like go on YouTube. They have direct access to the people because of what I've done to try to help them. Right. And it's not like to my credit, but I just knew that if I took the leap of faith out of corporate America at the age of 38 to have literally no income, I mean, no like paid salary every 2 weeks. That's what I mean by that. There's got to be somebody else out there that is wanting to do the same thing, but too scared to do it. And my motivation is I want everyone to live out their purpose. I want everybody in their life to live out their purpose and their calling without fear. And I know there are so many people that are scared. They're scared to do it for failure. This is what my students all tell me when they start. They all share. They're scared of failure. They're scared of the money. They're scared that they don't have the knowledge to do it. And so I'm just like, okay, I'm giving my content. I have interior design education content that I give away for free. You know, when I coach, it's an hour session. Do we go over most of the time? Yes. I'm like, I'm not going to bill you for 15 more minutes. Like, I get joy out of this and I want you to live your best life. Really, that's what it comes down to. So I feel like I pay it forward, like with like all the time. Like, again, just yesterday I had, this is a funny story. So there's a questionnaire if you want to work with us. You fill out a questionnaire. Somebody filled out a questionnaire. Filled out all the fields, uh-huh. Right? Even put like a budget in. And at the end was like, I'm not a client. I actually don't have a project, but can you share the sources from blah, blah, blah. And I sat there for a second like, and then I was like, no. What would make this person really happy?
Right.
Would it make her happy if I don't respond? No. Would it make her super happy if I shared the source? Yeah. I'm like, let it go, Anne. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
And so I gave her the sources that she wanted and like, that's it. Because I don't know.
You know the value of it. With what you're doing right now, you're creating that same safe space that you had at that Haven conference. And you're allowing other designers to raise their hands and ask those questions and not feel judged, but really just kind of be informed on, you know, how to move forward and how to really take their business to the level that they're envisioning. And I do the same thing, and it's so fulfilling. And so I'm so glad that you do that too. And that's how I knew immediately that we were, you know, we're going to be friends.
Yeah, it's, we're fast friends after this. don't worry. I'll massage your ego, the whole friendship. No, but it is like one of those things like, you know, there's so many people out there with expertise or more experience. So, mm-hmm. or a combination of both. And then there's people that need that. They need that from said people. And it's like, I think it's humanity at the end of the day. Like, can we all just be kind and share and give? And
right.
I don't worry. Like, literally, I send leads to designers in Miami. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, if there does come, you know, because there are some jobs we say no to, but I always refer them. And there's just like a people, we're better together.
It you know? Feels better.
You know, and that quote, again, it's so cliche, but it's so true. Like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, wait, I'm butchering it, but you know that quote. Like, do things together, essentially. Like,
basically,
grab arms. Don't be shy. Ask the questions, because then what's going to happen? I know this. These women that I've coached and the people that I've come in contact with, like, they're going to help people one day, because I hope that they saw the impact that I've had on their life and my sharing and my vulnerability, because I got a lot of it. I got a lot of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I've made a lot of mistakes and I'm not hesitant to share that. And I hope then one day they then pay it, this whole concept of paying it forward.
Completely.
Like, that's what I'm after. I'm not after competing or like your design is better than mine. No, like, we're just different. And I can recognize a better design, in my opinion, and that's fine. And I love that. And I'm inspired by those people, you know? So I'm here to serve.
You're amazing. You're amazing. Okay. So how do we learn more about you? How do we find you on Instagram? How can we find you on the web?
Yes. Okay. So website, annueno.com, A-N-N-U-E-N-O.com. As I say in Miami, my last name is Bueno without the B. Everybody's like, wait, is it Spanish? Is it Latin? And my ex-husband is Japanese. So it's in fact Japanese. Oh. And then, see, you learn something new every single day. And then Instagram is annueno, interior design. So that's my handle there. What else?
That's
what
it. Else can I get?
Is that it? You want me to get personal cell phone? Even though it's like actually any, you can find it anywhere. But right. Jokes aside, those are the two places to find me. I know.
Yeah, those are the two best places to find, you know, everything. So listen, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been such a great conversation. We could do it for hours, but we have a time limit here out of respect to our listeners. But I think we should do this again.
I agree. We have, I mean, because there's a lot of things we didn't talk about, actually. So let's
do it. We barely scratched the surface.
So excited. 2022 is going to be our best year.
And we have t-shirts and hats to make.
Yeah, we do, with lots of quotes.
And thanks a million. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Before we dive into our recap, I want to share a little bit about our podcast episode sponsor. Design Collaborative is a new approach to the Showhouse concept that is elevating the way architecture, design, and lifestyle unite. The highly anticipated Desert Oasis Showhouse in beautiful Palm Springs, California, will open its doors to the public this spring and is sure to be the talk of the desert. Collaborators in the design of this iconic home include Michael Berman, David Wood, John Feldman, Linda Allen, Chris Barrett, Donna Johnson, Jenica Kurtz, Shannon Palmer, Jennifer Sampson, Huma Suleiman, Amy Wax, and Maya Williams. To learn more about Design Collaborative and how to reserve your tickets to tour the Desert Oasis Showhouse, visit designcollaborativeusa.com. Okay, now let's talk about our conversation with Anne. I mean, really, that opportunity to design her team office at Starwood, how cool was that? Clearly, Anne wore her passion for design on her sleeve. And how great that her colleagues trusted her and supported her passion. It was clearly only a matter of time until her true calling took the lead in life and business. I'm so glad that Anne also shared her story about surrounding herself with fellow designers in a safe space, a place to be vulnerable and ask questions. If you've never been in an environment like that with fellow design professionals, I have a couple of solutions for that. You should probably visit our website. Anne comes from a place of service and strives to make things better across the board for herself, her team, and her clients. That makes her my people. So welcome to the tribe, Anne. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide. We love it when you share with a friend. We love it when you tag us on Instagram. And we really love it when you leave a review on iTunes. So go ahead, make our day. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.